Test 3. You will hear a number of different recordings, and you have to answer questions on what you hear. There will be time for you to read the instructions and questions, and you will have a chance to check your work. All the recordings will be played once only. The test is in 4 sections. At the end of the test, you will be given 10 minutes to transfer your answers to an answer sheet. Now, turn to Section 1. Section 1. You will hear a conversation between a restaurant and a customer who is making a booking. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 5. You'll see that there is an example that has been done for you. On this occasion only, the conversation relating to this example will be played first.
Good afternoon, Golden Dragon Restaurant. How may I help you?
I would like to book a table for next Sunday afternoon. We are planning a bit of a celebration for my son's birthday.
The booking is for Sunday afternoon, so B has been selected as the answer. Now we shall begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 5.
Good afternoon, Golden Dragon Restaurant. How may I help you?
I would like to book a table for next Sunday afternoon. We are planning a bit of a celebration for my son's birthday.
Okay, so Sunday afternoon. At about what time?
Let's see, 1 o'clock would be good. Oh, let's make it 2 o'clock, just to make sure that we are not in any rush.
So that's the 14th?
Yes. The 14th of November at 2 o'clock.
Now, how many people will be coming to the lunch? Sunday is our busy day, so we really need to know exactly how many people are coming.
Well, let's see. There's my husband and I, my sister and her son. Oh, and of course my son.
Okay, so that's 5 people then?
Oh, wait, 6. I forgot about my son's best friend, David.
Since it's a birthday, would you like us to prepare a cake for your son?
Yes, that would be fabulous. That would save me a lot of effort. What sort of cakes do you have?
We can do a strawberry cake, a banana cake, or our restaurant specialty of white chocolate cheesecake.
Well, my son loves chocolate, so the cheesecake would be perfect.
Yes, okay. And would you like to have strawberries on top of that?
Yes, please. I just love fresh fruit.
Sure, and we will also put some shaved chocolate on top of the cake. Now, what name can I put the booking under?
Oh, this is Mrs. Anderson.
Could you also give me your phone number as well?
Oh, yes. It's 09684553333.
All right. So it's 09684553333.
Thank you and see you next week.
Have a good day.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 6 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 6 to 10.
Good afternoon, Golden Dragon Restaurant. How may I help you?
Yes, I was just talking to you and I suddenly remembered something important. My son's friend has a food allergy. He is allergic to peanuts.
Okay, not a problem. I can instruct the chef to cook the food without any peanuts.
I'm sorry, but he is highly allergic and it's really important that it's in none of the sauces or other condiments.
That's fine, madam. Our chef is highly trained and I will personally notify him of the situation.
Okay, excellent. You have put my mind at rest.
Can I suggest that we prepare a special set menu for your son's friend to avoid any complications?
Yeah, all right. That's a great idea. He really loves chicken, so if you could cook any kind of meal with chicken, he would be happy.
Certainly. And one of our specialties is roast chicken. Do you think he would enjoy that?
That would be absolutely fabulous. I'm so glad that you are able to accommodate this request.
It's my pleasure, ma'am. We aim to please. Please remember to do your best to be on time, because next Sunday is also Father's Day.
Yes, my husband always likes to be punctual.
That is the end of section 1. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Section 2. You will hear a talk about meat pies in Australia. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 16. Now listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 16.
All right, sticking with today's theme of traditional foods from around the world, I'd like to talk about the famous Australian meat pie. Because it originated from Britain, it is not strictly an authentic Australian food. However, it is definitely one of the most popular snack foods eaten in Australia each year. It is a palm-sized, square or circular-shaped, baked short crust pastry, filled with fatty minced meat and gravy. Other common ingredients used are diced onions, mushrooms, and mashed green peas. There are also other variations of the meat pie, including the chicken pie, the steak and kidney pie, the pork pie, and even the fish pie. The meat pie is a popular go-to snack food because it is convenient, has a savory taste, and can be eaten anywhere using just your hands. You can often see people enjoying a hearty meat pie on the go, or at a sporting event such as cricket in summer, or at the rugby or the Australian rules football in winter. They are sold in convenience stores, cafes, at street kiosks, and at social events. They can also be eaten as a counter meal for lunch or dinner in a pub, and are often served on a plate with mashed potato, green peas, and smeared with a generous serving of delicious gravy on top. It is also common to see people eating a meat pie with tomato sauce on top instead of gravy to enhance the taste. You can even make your own meat pies at home using your own choice of healthy ingredients.
before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 17 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 17 to 20.
There are many iconic brands of Aussie meat pies. Perhaps one of the most common is the 4 and 20 brand of meat pie. These pies were produced in 1947 by L.T. McClure in a small bakery in Bendigo, Victoria. But the earliest pie manufacturer in Australia seems to be Sargent. They can trace their pie making back to 1891. Victorians also like to get their hands on Paddy's pies, as well as Clark's pies from Mortlake, King's pies from Hamilton, Gillies from Bendigo, and Beaumont's pies from Geelong. South Australians, pies of choice are made by Balfour's and Villiers. They have been making pies for over 100 years. West Australians go for Mrs. Mac's pies, which are sold nationwide in service stations and convenience stores. In Tasmania, the biggest producer of pies is National Pies. They are famous for their beef mince pies as well as cottage pies, which are meat pies topped with mashed potato. National Pies mince pies are rectangular in shape, whereas most other brands are round. The humble meat pie is considered a classic Aussie snack food. The next time you're in Australia, why not try a hot Aussie meat pie with a nice cold beer?
That is the end of section 2. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Section 3. You will hear a news story on daylight saving. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 27. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 27.
Times change, obviously, and talking about changing times, as you're aware, the government's daylight saving legislation will be introduced into the House in the next few weeks. We're very anxious to find out exactly what people in Tasmania think about daylight saving, and we'd like you to write and tell us. First of all, tell us whether or not you want it, and in either case, give your reasons for your decision, and address your letters to Line Up Care of the ABC in Hobart.
Bruce Grundy, compeer of the current affairs program Lineup on ABC Tasmanian Television. A few months ago, Lineup asked its viewers these questions.
80% of those who replied were in favour of daylight saving and 20% were against. There were some very strange reasons, in my opinion, offered for a number of the people's opinions. Leave God's time alone was one that we found frequently. If God had wanted us to get up in the dark, he'd have given us cat's eyes to help us do it more satisfactorily. One chap didn't like kissing his girl goodnight in broad daylight. Many people on the land were against it. On the other hand, many farmers were also in favour of it. But basically, those who wanted daylight saving found that it was just delightful for them to enjoy their recreational pastimes.
Mr. Scott, you're against daylight saving. Tell me why.
Very much so. Well, the main reasons are that I feel that there's too many people physically affected and even financially affected by legislation that is specifically introduce into the country on no other excuse for the purpose of more sport and more leisure.
Tasmanians found in the two-year trial period of daylight saving that an hour's extra daylight at the end of the working day was good for sport and leisure. On the Derwent Estuary, it's well after 6 o'clock before the boats need leave the water. There's plenty of daylight left to clean them down. Later, as the days lengthen, there'll be races after working hours. There's time for an extra hour's fishing from the Sorel Causeway. There's time for a drive on what used to be a quiet country road. The daylight savers claim road safety improves with the long twilight, but there are no figures to prove it yet.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 28 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 28 to 30.
Most of the people I talk to, and these are so far have been townspeople, have said it's a great idea. It gives me an extra hour of daylight.
That's quite correct. That is a fact. But they are mostly 40-hour week workers. They enjoy two full days of leisure at the weekend. They've got plenty of time for sport and leisure. And in view of that, I would think that the reason for more sport and more leisure, even if there's only two people, in my opinion, who are affected financially, wouldn't be good enough. Wouldn't be good enough excuse.
But even among farmers, polls indicate support for daylight saving. What do you think of daylight saving?
I'm all for it.
Why?
Because I'd rather have my day's work over early so I can rest in at 5 o'clock or knock off and rest.
Well, I feel I gain an extra hour of sunshine in the afternoon, which appeals to me.
What do you do with it?
Cut grass, normally.
So it's more work.
That's right. Look, if well, I chip in again, that's well, right. Well, give us another hour's work.
indirectly, perhaps it might be, but that's up to me.
I work from daylight till dark, no matter which way it goes.
That is the end of section 3. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Section 4. You will hear a presentation about a political group in New Zealand. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
The McGillicuddy Serious Party, MCGSP, was a satirical political party in New Zealand. For many years, from 1984 to 1999, McGillicuddy Serious provided colour to New Zealand politics to ensure that the political process is not taken too seriously. The party's logo, the head of a medieval court jester, was indicative of McGillicuddy Serious's status as a joke party. The party stood candidates in the 1984, 1987, 1990, 1993, 1996 and 1999 general elections, the 1986, 1989, 1992, 1995 and 1998 local body elections, along with various local body and parliamentary by-elections, and even some university student association elections. Section 1. Origins. The McGillicuddy Serious Party was founded in 1984 in Hamilton as the political arm of Clan McGillicuddy, which had been established in 1978. Members of the clan had stood as candidates in 1983 local body elections in the Waikato, but the MCGSP was established in time to contest the 1984 general election. The party had a strong Scottish theme, and the kilt was considered to be one of the party's symbols. Initially, many candidates were students of the University of Waikato. They also included a number of street performers and comedic musical groups, such as the Serious Ukulele Ensemble and the Big Muffin Serious Band. Section 2. Challenge for the Crown. After discovering that he had some rather obscure relationship to the Stuart pretenders, Clan McGillicuddy advanced Bonnie Prince Jeffy the Reluctant as replacement for Queen Elizabeth II. The clan attempted to settle the matter by trial by combat, challenging the New Zealand Army to a pillow fight. Although HRH's official armed defenders declined the offer, the McGillicuddy Highland Army occasionally fought the Loyalist forces of Alf's Imperial Army, a pro-British pacifist warfare group who supported the Wizard of New Zealand and McGillicuddy's rival for the silly vote, the Imperial British Conservative Party. The party was sometimes the subject of aggression from unexpected quarters. In 1990, Green Party candidate Warwick Pudney challenged his Te Atatū rival to a paper sword fight in Aotea Square. The fight was declared a draw. Both combatants were treated for paper cuts. Unarmed insurrection having failed, the clan reluctantly turned to the ballot box, from 1984 to 1999 contesting general elections. Section 3. Candidate Selection. Party candidates for election were at one point selected through trial by combat, with newspaper swords and water balloons, the loser of the combat becoming the candidate. In 1990, this policy was replaced by standing several candidates for the same seat, it being illegal for the same candidate to contest two seats, doubling their chances of election, but legal for a party to have two candidates standing in the same electorate, halving their chances. In 1996, Canterbury regional electorate candidates were selected by a giant game of musical chairs in Cathedral Square, Christchurch. Whoever was sitting on one of the labelled chairs when the music stopped became the candidate for that seat. Candidates for proportional representation list seats were selected Cinderella style by trying to fit into labelled shoes.
That is the end of Section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers. That is the end of the listening test. You now have 10 minutes to transfer your answers to the answer sheet. That is the end of the listening test.